Well, my goodness, today's worship takes a sharp turn, right? From the celebration of the palms outside just a few minutes ago to the cross. There's really no other Sunday in the entire liturgical year that includes such a radical shift between two completely opposite events, but events that are in fact related. We walked in here a few minutes ago singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, waving our palms, but we've quickly become immersed in the angry Good Friday crowds shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And as we just heard, despite Pilate's, you know, half-hearted attempt to wash his hands of the whole mess, the crowd goes its way, and an innocent man is marked for death. Now, I suppose, you know, we could soften the impact of all of this by having today be all about Palm Sunday, and then quickly jump to next Sunday, which again, everything will be glorious and beautiful as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And then we can take comfort in that, gosh, what appears at first to be so awful and terrifying really doesn't turn out to be awful at all. But the creators of our liturgical calendar don't want to let us off the hook that easily. We're not only to hear about these two crowds, the crowds that welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, and then the crowd yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," but we're to try to see ourselves in those crowds. And the hard part of that for us is that we have the advantage of, you know, 2,000 plus years of hindsight, having heard these gospel stories over and over repeatedly. And so it's easy to judge the characters in that story from a distance. And yet, in the self-reflection that this season of Lent has challenged us to enter into, when we're honest, we know how quickly our own faith can falter when God doesn't deliver what we want, or when some tragedy befalls us, you know, as if God is some puppeteer in the sky orchestrating all sorts of bad things to cause pain and suffering and disappointment. In the case of the angry Good Friday crowd, Jesus simply wasn't the kind of king most of them thought they needed. His entrance into Jerusalem might have begun to give them some hope in that vision. But now, standing before Pilate, that vision is rendered impossible. But their vision was also so blinded and so ingrained that they could not possibly see or imagine the incarnation of God in Jesus. And even for us who do in fact proclaim our faith in Jesus as the perfect incarnation of God, we also know how often our own self-serving interests lead us to rationalize away the claim he has on our lives. Catherine Jeffords Shorey, the brilliant, I would say, former presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States, reminds us that Jesus' mission and his call to us are to inaugurate the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that Jesus tells us is already in each of us. And Bishop Shorey likes to refer to the kingdom of God as God's kindom, pointing out that we're all kin with one another. And not only with other human beings, but we're a part, a magnificent part of the whole of God's creation. And as human beings, our vocation is to partner in the transformation of this planet toward that ancient and eternal vision of a healed and reconciled existence. That's our vocation. That was Jesus' vocation. As we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth," right here, as it is in heaven. Well, we might say, for all of this, did Jesus really have to die? And I would say, yes. But not in some preordained divine calendar kind of way, but rather because new life, transformed life, reconciled life, liberation always come from self-sacrificial love. And Jesus knew, he could not be completely faithful to his mission if he backed away just one iota from his oppressors. I'll never forget a former parishioner of mine in Washington, D.C., describing his conversion experience with the metaphor of a doctor performing surgery. Jesus coming to cure what ailed him was not a painless experience, because, as he said, Jesus doesn't have in mind some feel-good self-improvement program for us, but rather he wants to radically transform us into a people who will follow him and be part of the transformation of this world. And my friends, more than likely, that will require some dying on our part to our current selves for that to happen.